Well, good evening, church.
Hope all is going well. This is Pastor Greg coming to you from my home office, where we continue with partial lockdown. We will be in service tonight, 6:30 at the church. And then Sundays is still, we're doing home fellowships. For those of you who listen online and only come to fellowship by an online service, a couple of announcements. This Saturday, we have a pool party, and you should have gotten an email. You can respond to that. It would be great. It's at 1 o'clock on Saturday. It's for the entire church, so come out and join us. We are continuing our study in the book of Genesis, going through not only the creation story, which we did already, but we're kind of going through the creation of relationships, for lack of a better word. So last week we looked at the first marriage of Adam and Eve, and tonight we're going to be looking at the first sibling relationship, right? So why do we do this? We study, the Bible says, to show thyself approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, one who rightly divides the word of truth. And that's what this investment of time is for you. It is that study time to approve yourself, right? Show yourself approved so that you don't need to be ashamed, that you understand what the Word of God is, that you rightly divide it, and you accurately apply it. So tonight, we're going to be talking about Cain and Abel, and this is a story that most of you know, most of you learned at a very young age. Especially if you had siblings, you learned it. But I'm really familiar with this type of drama between siblings. My dad was the oldest of five siblings. My mom was the oldest of five siblings. I come from a family of three. I have five kids. Had six. Have five kids. And I get it. There's constantly something going on between one or the other, no matter what. Very few days go by that there is complete peace between everybody. And the reality is siblings are going to quarrel, they're going to fight. And the question for us today is, you know, what can we learn from Cain and Abel in their relationship that serves as sort of an example or of a warning to us? And there is a lot to learn, all right? But it's not just talking about blood brothers and sisters here. Because when we are in Christ, there is no really a physical family anymore. We are a spiritual family. And this applies to our relationships here as believers, right? So it's not just Cain and Abel. It's you and the person you go to church with, or you and your neighbor, your brother, or your sister, right? Whether it's family by blood or church family. So consider for a moment the circumstances and the attitudes and the heart that Cain and Abel had, and that how they're still applicable today, right? Consider the family damage that was caused by what Cain did, right? And then consider the family damage that's caused by some of the things that's happened in your own family, maybe the things that you might have been involved in or been hurt by, right? So these are real issues that apply for today. Our text tonight is Genesis chapter 4, and I'll start reading there. It said, Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. And she said, with help from the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to her brother Abel. Now Abel kept the flocks, and Cain worked with the soil. And in the course of time, Cain brought some of the first fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. And the Lord said to him, why so angry? Why is your face so downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what it is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. You must rule over it. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out into the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? I do not know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out for me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and are driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer all the days on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence, and I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. But the Lord said to him, not so. Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And Cain made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. And Cain was then building a city and named it after his son Enoch. And Enoch was born Irad, and Irad was the father of Mehujael, and Mehujael was the father of Methushael, and Methushael was the father of Lamech. So, observations. Well, we have Cain here, and we have Abel. There's really not much to say about Abel. We know that what Abel did was righteous. We know that he offered an offering to God that was acceptable. Now, the part about the story is it's really not understood by us what was acceptable and what was not acceptable to God. But they gave a different sacrifice, obviously, one that was life and one that was of the ground. And to me, it makes sense, right? To me, if you work the ground, then your gift should be from the ground. If you work with the crops, then your work should be from the crops. If you work and get money, then you should offer money. And if you work, you have the time to serve, then you offer service. And if you are in worship, you offer worship to the Lord. And I could see that. It makes sense to me that all of these offerings would be equal. But for whatever reason, God's offering of Cain's was not accepted. But we'll get into that as we continue. So Cain was one of the sons of Adam and Eve, obviously. His birth is the first one recorded in Scripture, which leads us to believe that Cain was Adam and Eve's firstborn. We can safely say that. And the name Cain is based on the Hebrew root word kana, which means possession. So Cain, this guy, was a rebellious man who rejected God's plan, ignored God's warnings, and received God's punishment and judgment. Cain is most infamous for being the world's first murderer, right? So not only do we have the world's first sibling relationship, but that relationship resulted in murder, right? So God warned Cain about, what it was that was the issue here, and it was sin. But Cain, he didn't listen to God's warning, and he killed his brother in a field, and we read that in verses 6 through 8. And God punished Cain by increasing the hardships and banishing from society. We also see that God marked him to protect him from being killed by anybody that would seek revenge. And Cain settled in the land of Nod. He had his whole entire family that is from his line were big trouble, right? We can see that through the story in Genesis. So Cain's descendants, some of whom are listed in Genesis, proves that this evil that was in Cain lives on. And that's a thing that we really need to understand, right? Because Genesis 5 talks about these people becoming more and more wicked even than Cain. And Lamech, the fifth son from Cain, was a polygamist and a murderer and boasted of his sin. And all of Cain's family was probably wiped out in the flood anyway. So with respect to that, it really didn't have any bearing moving forward. All that to say, though, that he was a problem. So out of all the brothers in line, there was another brother that was Seth that was born, that would have been Cain's younger brother. And Seth's descendants included Enoch and Methuselah and Noah, right? So what does all this mean? Well, when you look, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. The first thing is that, when God brings his warning to Cain, he says, look, I didn't accept your, I didn't look with favor upon your sacrifice, right? And I think that there's times, guys, when we do our best, and sometimes our best is not the turnout is not good, right? And it doesn't necessarily mean that God was angry or God was displeased. He was just more pleased with Cain's offering. And we know that because Abel's offering was an offering of life, right? It was the lifeblood that was important to God, a sacrifice. And that's just something that Abel knew intuitively or instinctively. But Cain obviously didn't know that. He could have had that sacrifice. He could have asked his brother for something to sacrifice or traded, but he didn't. He gave what he thought was logical, right? And the beautiful thing that we see here is that God, you know, comes to him and says, look, why are you so downcast? What's your problem? I could see by your outward appearance, I could see by your body language that something is wrong. It's basically what God is saying. And he says, if you do right, if you continue to do what's right, everything's going to work out. But if you choose to do what's wrong, and I love what he says here. He says, sin is crouching at your door, and its desire is to have you. And guys, I think that that is a very important thing that we need to recognize here, because this is something that Cain may have learned from his mother, right? Sin was crouching at the door of Eve, and that sin was in the form of a serpent, and it was evil, right? And I think that Cain did a bad job from learning from his mom. I don't know that if it was discussed. I'm sure that they had heard the stories of the creation. They heard the stories of how God was displeased, and they clothed them. And I don't know if Adam and Eve shared that information with their sons. But for certain, this is a direct impact of Eve's sin, right? Same thing. Sin was crouching at her door, and she answered the door and let it in. And then God says to Cain the same thing. You know, if you continue to do what's right, what are you worried about? If you continue to do what you know is right in your heart, then don't worry about anything else. Focus on, you know, doing right, and you'll be fine. But he doesn't do that. He's angry, right? And the Lord said, you know, why are you angry? Why are you downcast? And you know, you're going to be accepted if you just continue to do what's right. But if you do not do what's right, the sin is crouching, and it's going to have its rule over you, but you must have rule over it. So then the second thing here is, you know, he goes out and he sins. He murders his brother. And God, just like he does with Adam and Eve, he asks the question, where is your brother? I don't know, he said. Am I my brother's keeper? And the answer to that question, we hear that a lot. The answer is yes, we are our brother's keeper, right? We have to look out for one another. And Cain was not looking out for his brother. He was filled with rage and jealousy and anger towards God because his brother didn't do anything to him. It's not like he was making fun of him, but he killed him because he needed somebody to take his wrath out upon. He couldn't do it upon Adam or Eve. And his brother was in his crosshairs. Then the Lord said, you know, what have you done? Your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And I think, guys, that when we sin like that, you know, that there is a demand for a recompense. There's a demand to make things right. So we see that in this particular case, you know, Cain is just in big trouble, not only with God, but he's going to be in big trouble the rest of his life because he's going to be marked. He's going to be one that evil will follow him and his descendants. And he was going to live a very, very long, difficult life because of what he had done, right? Now, God could have easily taken him right there, but he didn't. God had mercy upon him. And most people think, well, mercy would have been to kill him. But no, that's not. That's not the way God looks at it. You're still going to live. I'm going to still give you decisions to make. You can choose right. You can choose wrong. And Cain continued to choose wrong. So as we continue tonight, the interpretation of all this is, you know, the heart of Cain. This is what at the center of this whole story here. It's a tragic story that illustrates the damaging effects of two things, anger and jealousy. And guys, when we have anger and we have jealousy toward our brother, we're in big trouble, right? When we move on in the Bible, we read the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, if you're angry with your brother, you're committing murder in your heart. If you talk bad about your brother, you're committing murder in your heart. It was a very serious thing to harbor bitter feelings toward your brother. And yet it's something that we struggle with I've seen churches that have been divided. I've seen churches that have been destroyed. I've seen families destroyed by this, by anger and jealousy between siblings or people within the family. And, you know, this willful disobedience of Cain, you know, that allowed him to go around Scripture and really sort of follow in the steps of his mom was a big problem, right? The Gospel of John 3 says, warns us against the lack of brotherly love. It says, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. And which leads me to my second point here, the results of righteousness. Those who welcome evil into their hearts, guys, have a natural hatred towards those who are righteous. And if you look at our world right now, you have a group of angry people, right? And most people will try and convince you of the fact that these are protesters. And for the most part, we have a lot of people that are protesting things in our country that, quite frankly, should be protested. And I'm totally okay with that. What I'm not okay with is when you have people that have so much anger and rage in your heart that they justify their anger and rage by hurting and abusing and breaking the law. Hurting people, abusing people, and breaking the law. That does not justify their anger. It does not justify their actions. And we have, you know, two kinds of people in this country. You have those who believe that there are law and order and there's a result from bad behavior. And then there are others that believe that you just sort of let them get this out of their system and it'll go away. Well, it will not go away. It always results in what we see here. In the protests that we've seen in our country, some of them have been peaceful. I saw the one in Fullerton. For the most part, it was peaceful. Nobody was injured. There was very limited property damage. But in other cities, we've seen a complete reversal of that, where people have died tragically. Police personnel have died. Innocent people have died. Businesses were ruined completely. Futures were taken away from families. Untold and uncounted dollar amounts of damage that have been done to cities, all because of what? Sin is crouching at the door and its desire is to have you. There is something that we can do, guys, when we need to make a stand, right? And we've seen the difference in throughout history where people have stood for injustice, right? We saw Martin Luther King stand and never raise a hand to anybody, right? In fact, like the Apostle Paul, like the disciples, he was persecuted for his beliefs and yet never raised a hand to anybody. And now you have this mob of angry people that are so angry and so Cain-like that they want to do something about their rage. And the problem is, it's going to cost them, right? I mean, you can't go around killing people and ruining stuff and expecting your cause to be heard. So Cain's real problem here, it's talked about in Hebrews. And Hebrews 11:4 gives us a clue as to why Cain's offering was rejected, right? It says, by faith, Abel brought a better offering than Cain did. And that was the problem. That was Cain's problem. He wasn't walking by faith. Abel had faith, and by inference, Cain did not. And Cain did not, you know, receive the approval of God because his heart was not right with God. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And Jude speaks out against ungodly men who pervert the grace of God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ. Jude chapter 1, verse 4. These hypocrites within the church face certain judgment. Woe to them, they have taken the way of Cain. It's in verse 11 of Jude. And like Cain, they have rejected God's will. They proudly continue to ignore God's warnings, and they will be judged in the end. Let me repeat that. The people in your family, maybe it's you, the people that have this rage and anger and jealousy, they have rejected God's will, number one. They proudly continue to ignore his warnings. And number three, they're going to be judged in the end, just like Cain did. God must judge this sin, right? So what does all this mean, and what is the application? Sin, you guys, number one, is desirous to have us, and we need to just be reminded of that. We saw it in Eve, we see it in Cain, and all of these traits, all of these personality traits are in us because we are still affected by the sin nature that was brought into this bloodline. We see that we struggle with sin because the enemy is free in this world. This is his world, and he is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, and he's constantly negotiating terms with us, you know, with regard to sin. He's constantly trying to trick us. He's constantly trying to trap us, and it's desirous to have us. You need to know that, right? You need to know that. You need to be reminded, I need to be reminded, that sin is right there outside of our door waiting to take us down. And the second thing that I get out of this is there is a need for a faithful offering. You guys, the offerings that we offer to God, if we go and clean the church, we do so as unto the Lord. If we go and watch kids, we do so as unto the Lord. We don't do it begrudgingly. We don't, oh, I got to go do this, and oh, I got to go preach that sermon. Oh, I don't feel like, you know. These are things that we get to do for God that are a privilege to serve him. It is an honor to serve our King. I can remember a time in my life when I didn't serve God, and it wasn't a favorable time. But serving God is an awesome thing. Church sometimes is not so awesome, but serving God is awesome. So there's a need for a faithful offering. And when you do things, when you offer things to God, whether it be worship or a tithe or your service or your time or your talent or your treasure or your testimony, whatever it is, right? It's got to be a faithful offering. It's got to be offered in faith. God, and the faith offering says, Lord, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to do it whether I get rewarded or not, because you're worthy of my offering. I trust you, Lord, and I want to give to you. So, number one, sin is it's desirous to have us. Number two, the need for a faithful offering from you and from me. And number three, we got to be responsible, guys, for when we fail. We just have to be responsible. We have to be responsible when, you know, life didn't turn out good for us, and maybe it did for our brother or for our sister, and, you know, they went on to college and did great things, and we have a reason to harbor bitterness against them the rest of their life, and every Christmas and every Easter and every holiday is destroyed because we're just bitter, angry people. Well, bitter, angry people hurt other people. Hurt people hurt people. That is the problem. That's what we see with Cain. Cain was hurt in his relationship with God, and so he wanted to take it out on somebody, and he took it out on his brother. And that action right there, that motivation, that sin has not left mankind. It is still in you, it is still in me, and its desire is to have us, but we must rule over it, just the same way that God told Cain. And that is a choice that you and I have to make. It's our choice. I pray for those tonight that have never made the choice to follow Jesus Christ and submit your life to him. If you've never done that, I want to offer you that opportunity now. The Bible says that you must confess with your heart, with your mouth, and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and you will be saved. And when you are saved, you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You are given the gifts of the Spirit, and you are invited to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, and you are invited to walk in the Spirit. And I pray that if you have made that your prayer tonight, that God would richly bless you, and that you would find the phone number to our church on the website that you're on right now and call us and let us know about the decision that you've made, so that we may rejoice with you over your decision. And if you listen consistently as part of the church body, he has shown you, man and woman, what is good and what the Lord requires of you and of me. That we do justly, that we love mercy, and that we walk humbly with our God. Had Cain done any of those three, he would have not murdered his brother. If he would have acted justly, if he would have loved mercy, if he would have walked humbly, any of those three would have kept him from murder. May those things keep you from doing evil things, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys.